Hey, welcome to church, everybody. Happy to be here?
Yeah.
All right. It is really good to see you. My name's Evan. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, slow on the go today, but here we go. We got there. It was slow, but it was hearty. So it felt good, and we're gonna continue to work on that. But I'm the lead pastor here at Northgate. We're so glad that you're joining us today at church. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe Christmas season is a season where you've decided, you know what, I'm going to come out and check a few things out and see if maybe something rekindles in my heart, or maybe see if God is really real or he has something for me, and Christmas season feels like the right time to do it. Well, welcome here. We want you to know that you're welcome to just be here. You're welcome to just check it out. You're welcome to just leave here and think about it. But we really do believe that Jesus wants to captivate your heart. He wants to grab your heart. He wants to reveal some things to you about himself and about yourself this Christmas season. And so we really hope that you do indeed discover Christmas this year. That's why we're doing this series. We're talking about the idea that we might discover something that either we've never discovered before, or we've discovered before and we've kind of lost it. We're talking about the idea that maybe something has been lost within the North American Christian culture that is all about just lights and music and feasts and sugar cookies and movies and all the stuff that are fun and good and exciting and great to be a part of, and yet aren't Christmas. They aren't the reason for it. And we don't want to be a Grinch here and say, well, I don't know if anyone watched The Grinch, by the way, but we don't want to be Grinch here and say, hey, to stop doing all those things. This is all about Jesus. But we do want to remind ourselves and you, this is about Jesus. It's about a baby showing up. It's about God and his rescue plan for us. God and his long-term plan for redemption of humankind to be in relationship with him. So it's good news this Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we started last week in this series called Discover Christmas. By the way, isn't it great that we have snow on Mount Washington so we can have that type of video? Come on. It's just like we see enough rain. Wouldn't it be so different if it was like this person's walking with a torch like in Lewis Park while it's raining? Like, just not the same. But we've got snow on Mount Washington. So way to go, Kyle, for making it up to Mount Washington and being in the snow and doing those videos. And it's just awesome. It's fun to be a part of. So we started this series last week, and we're talking about the person who probably discovered Christmas from the front row seat more than anyone else. We're talking about the woman named Mary, who last week we discovered that Mary had this moment when she was getting ready to be married, where she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, getting ready to have her life shaped that way, to change her whole life, to be part of this incredible story of her own. She was anticipating what was coming in her life. And then this angel showed up and said, Mary, well, actually, there's a message from God for you. And we talked about how she sort of changed from this idea of reservation or not sure if she wanted to hear it. And she flipped all the way to the point of anticipation, where she went from saying, I don't know if I want to hear what you have to say, angel, because I like my life and I like where I'm going. But she determined to receive the message that she would conceive a baby from God. And she determined in her heart by the end of last week that she would believe that God actually was going to do what he said he was going to do. And she didn't have, she's still 9 months out. It's not like necessarily anything all of a sudden changed in her body, but something changed in her heart, something changed in her faith, something changed in her expectation, where she, instead of doing a usual Christmas, by the way, it wasn't called Christmas then, but instead of just carrying on with her usual life and anticipating the regular things of getting married and doing that with her husband, all of a sudden she was anticipating the work of God, unsure of what it would look like, unsure of what would take place, unsure of all the details, unsure of what would happen with relationships with her family and her fiance and all of that, and yet anticipating the work of God taking place in her life. That first Christmas, Mary, in an effort, whether she knew it or not, to discover Christmas, started with this anticipation and just believing that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, that God was going to follow through, that God had a plan and that what he had conceived in her was true and was real. And so last week we said, can we just believe it together? That if God's starting to stir something in our heart, can we just believe, yes, God, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to believe that you want me to discover something this season. You want me to discover something in you and in my life here and now. You want me to take my eyes off of just the route that I'm going in my life and just the planned outcome that I have for my life and allow myself to lift my eyes a little bit and imagine what you might have for my life. So last week, all we said was, let's just believe there's something worth anticipating in our life. Let's believe there's something worth getting excited for in our life. Worth something being expectant for in our lives. And so we started there, and now we're going to move on with Mary's story as she looks to discover Christmas. So I don't know about you, but when God does something in my life, you know, when he starts to conceive something in my heart, I want to talk about it. I want to share it with someone. I want to bat it around with someone. I think most of us are kind of like that. If God all of a sudden shows up and says, hey, I'm going to do something incredible. If you'll receive the message, I'll conceive something within you, and I'm asking you to believe it. Last week we said that happened, and that happens to me where God puts a new dream in my heart, or he gives me something fresh, or he gives me some unimaginable expectation for my life. I want to bat it around with someone. I want to chat with someone about it and hear what they have to think, and Mary's no different than that. Can you imagine? Here I am, a young girl getting ready to be married. An angel shows up and says, you're going to have the Savior of the world land in your womb, and you're going to give birth to the one who's been prophesied for hundreds of years. You're going to do that in this very first Christmas. And so as you're getting ready for that, you must want to talk to someone. You must want to ask someone what they think. You know, I had this conversation with an angel, and where do I go with that? And so who Mary goes to tells us a lot about her. Because I think God does a lot of work in a lot of our lives, and God conceives a lot of things in a lot of our lives that we never follow through on. I think part of it is who we go to right after we heard the news. Right after God does his greatest work. Maybe after last Sunday, you felt like you were stirred up and something was going on in your heart, and you're getting hungry for something, and you thought maybe God was building a new dream in your heart. Maybe he was calling you to forgive that person you couldn't forgive. Maybe he was calling you to start that business you've been afraid to start. Maybe he was calling you to pray that prayer that you haven't wanted to pray. Maybe he was calling you to restore that relationship that hasn't been restored, to give that gift that you've been afraid to give. Maybe he was doing that, and then you left here and you talked to someone about it. And maybe you went to the right person, maybe you went to the wrong person, because we either go to someone who's going to confirm our faith or someone who's going to confirm our doubts. Because every time God speaks, we've got both. Every time all of a sudden something's conceived in our heart, we've got both. God, I'm pretty sure I feel this, and so I'll believe it. I'll hold on to it. I will believe it. And then we go to someone else. And if it's someone who says, I'm believing it with you, we'll probably carry on that route. If it's someone who says, you know what, really? Are you sure? We probably go, yeah, you're probably right. I had a little bit of that in me too. Let's not worry about that. But Mary goes to someone who the angel had spoken about. If you remember the conversation that the angel had with Mary, the angel said, Mary, you can believe this. Do you know how I know you can believe this? You can believe this because if you look at your relative, Elizabeth, who was barren, who tried for kids for years and it didn't work, who was the wife of the priest Zechariah, if you look at her life right now, I want you to know, you didn't know this, but she's 6 months pregnant. The one who everyone said couldn't get pregnant is pregnant. The one who tried for all those years and all of your family prayed for her and hoped for it and believed for it. Remember that one who nothing ever happened to for all that time? Well, a miracle is happening in her life. She is pregnant. You got to check it out. And so that's where Mary determines to go. It's like, okay, this is a huge thing that God just said to me, that this angel just said to me. I'm going to have a baby, and that baby is going to be the Son of God. I better go talk to someone, you know? I better go figure this out. And she goes to the one who God's already doing miracles in their life. She goes to Elizabeth, who the angel is telling her about. I want to know who you go to. Who do you go to when you feel like God is starting to stir something up? I've had a lot of young people in my life. I've worked with young people for a long time, and I've had a lot of them come to me, and, this is my dream. I feel like God is doing this to me. I think God wants me to start a prayer group at my school. I feel like God wants me to do this thing. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. It's so great. Next time I see them, they say, I chatted with my friends, and they said it probably wasn't going to work out. So who are your friends? All these people who don't believe in Jesus and don't really think that what I'm doing is that great. So I asked them, good advice. You go to the people who aren't ever going to encourage you in that way, and you think, maybe they'll encourage me. Lord, it'll be a miracle if they do. And so if they do, then I'll go that way, and if not, I won't. No, the miracle's already happened. He's already conceived something in you. He's already placed a dream in your heart. He's already given you vision. He's already put passion in you. And now go and get it confirmed. A lot of people talk to me about these dreams. I had some say, I want to get baptized. It's time for me to get baptized. I want to give my life to Jesus and follow him. I've already felt all the places he's leading me to. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. And then I see them next time say, ready to get baptized. I chatted with my brother who hates church, and he said I probably shouldn't. Yeah, he probably would, right? Of course he's going to say that. Of course that person's going to say that. Why did they become your wise counsel in that moment? Mary, stirred up by God, goes to Elizabeth, who's already experiencing a miracle from God. She's already seeing incredible things, and she heads off to see Elizabeth. But Mary has no idea how Elizabeth will respond or what's going to happen. But here we go. Let's check it out. Luke 1, 38 to 45. So Mary had finished off. She says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, by the way, that baby is named John, called John the Baptist. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't you want that person to be the one you go to with your God dreams? Like when God shows up in your life, don't you want to go ask the person who the moment you walk in, the Holy Spirit makes their baby leap and you get filled with the Spirit? It's that's who I want to go to. I don't want to go to someone who's like, well, let's logically write out the pros and cons. Pros and cons don't work for God. They never work out for God. But otherwise, how many of his people wouldn't have done what they did? Pro, follow God. Con, death. I don't know. Imagine Jesus, pros and cons of the cross. Pro, sinners get saved. Con, sinless dies. Bracket, that's me. Bracket. Like, why would you do it? Like you don't follow God if you're going to play out the logistical pros and cons game. Pros, I'll get a better paycheck. Cons, I'll have to give up everything. No, I think I'll take the better paycheck, right? But God's saying, well, this is a different pro. Pro is, I've got an eternal perspective, and I want you to play your role in the story that I'm writing, that I've been writing since the beginning of time, and you've got a place. Do you want to fit in that story? Do you want to take place in my journey that I've been creating that I want you to land in? And so you don't play out pros and cons. If your best advisor for when you get a God dream conceived in your heart, you don't go and see if you can find the most logical person. Let's go see if I can find the person who makes the most money in my life, and I'm going to talk to them about stepping into ministry and seeing if they think that's a good idea. Let's go talk to the person who values living in this city, in their big house, and all of that. Let's go ask them if they think me doing missions in Iran is a good idea. This is where we get stuck sometimes, I think. And Mary's like, I want to go to the person who, when I walk in the front door, is going to be filled with the Spirit, is experiencing the same miraculous life that God is putting into me. And I want that person to stir me up to believe, not just with a little belief and a little doubt, but fully believe what's about to happen in me. And so Mary goes to Elizabeth. It's like, well, who could I go to that might, you know, stir me up? How about the one who also had an angel show up to her husband and speak to them, who also is dealing with a pregnancy that is pretty bizarre, who also had a promise from God show up? I'm going to go to her. I want to know, who do you go to? When you're trying to figure out what God is doing in your life, who do you go to? So she goes. She's filled with the Spirit. I just love that moment, by the way. John the Baptist sees Jesus through two tummies. And he's like, "Wow! There's Jesus! Yes!" Like we know when John the Baptist later on sees Jesus, like he's baptizing people. There he is, you know. I picture someone like, "Pull me up, John." But John sees Jesus later on, says, "It's the Lamb of God. There he is." And here in this moment, he's in the womb. Jesus is in the womb. And he hears Jesus' mother speaking. And John goes, "Woo-hoo! It's all happening. I can't believe it. Here we are." And Elizabeth gets filled with the Spirit. What a moment. Because Mary doesn't come in and go, "Hey, Elizabeth, check it out. Here's what God is doing." She comes in and it just says she greets Elizabeth. And in fact, her last words that we hear aren't all that inspiring. "I am the Lord's servant. May the word of to me be fulfilled." Hello, Elizabeth. That's not like a moment, but Elizabeth turns it into that moment. The Holy Spirit comes into her, speaks to her, makes her baby jump inside of her, fills her with the Spirit, and here she comes. I love this. In verse 42, it says, "In a loud voice, she exclaimed." I don't know if I've always paid attention to that, but I sure did this time. Because Elizabeth's job here isn't just to confirm. She's not here for just confirmation. She's here for celebration. She's not just here to say, "I believe that is true, Mary. Very good. Yes, the Son of God is inside of you." She's there to say, I just got to tell you, I am pumped. For all of history, I am pumped. Not just for you, but for the rest of the world from here to come. I'm pumped for Courtney, British Columbia 2018. I'm pumped for what's going to happen because of this. I'm pumped because everyone's going to discover Christmas from here on out. She's not just here to confirm the work of the good God in your life. She's here to celebrate what you haven't yet learned to celebrate, because you're still battling the faith and the doubt, but no longer after this moment. And Elizabeth says in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women." How many women are standing in that room too? You know what Elizabeth says, her first meeting with this young girl? "Blessed are you amongst us too. More so than me, you are blessed. More favored than me, you are blessed." And she's not like, "Oh, Mary, you get all the fun stuff. I've been waiting way longer than you. I had to be called the barren one," you know. She doesn't say, "You're so young and you didn't even have to try for this. Not fair." She says, "Wow, woman, you are blessed among women." That's us too. You are blessed. In other words, compared to me and you, you are blessed. That's a huge statement for Elizabeth to make. You know why? Because Elizabeth is probably living out the most exciting stage of her life right now. Because for years, she's been outcasted as the barren woman. "Oh, the priest's wife, she can't have kids. You may think that doesn't happen, but that happens. Where people look at especially pastors' wives and priests' wives and say, "Oh, this and what about this and what about this and what about this and what about this?" Elizabeth's been living under that for a long time, for many, many years. Zechariah's like, "Do you guys not pray enough? Do you not have enough faith? Why aren't you having your baby yet?" For years and years and years, Elizabeth had to walk through that over and over and over. She had to experience that. Finally, now God shows up as an angel for the first time that God has spoken in 400 years, as far as we can tell biblically. And here, all of a sudden, this moment comes, an angel comes and speaks to Zechariah and says, your wife, who's been called the barren one, who's lost it, like who's lost all sense of respect in her community, that woman who's been marginalized and outcast, she's going to have a baby, and that baby is going to speak to the world about the one to come. And there's Elizabeth experiencing that. Now the talk of the town the other way. Wow, what a woman. You waited all this time. What faith you must have had. You stood in such strength. I can't believe you kept to it. I can't believe you kept at it. You've got the miraculous child in you. God has done a miracle in you. Wow, Mary, this is so special. Imagine how she must feel when, or wow, Elizabeth, this is so special. Imagine how she must have felt now when this young whippersnapper comes and steals her thunder. Imagine how much comparison would kill this moment. How much contempt she would start to have for this Mary. Oh, put in your time, woman. You put in your time, you wait. This didn't require faith. This didn't require hard work. This didn't require working through humiliation and figuring this out. No, Elizabeth doesn't say that once. In a loud voice, she proclaims, blessed are you, woman, above all. See, Elizabeth knows her son's job. Just earlier in Luke, here's what the angel had said to Elizabeth's husband Zechariah about their son John. Luke 1, 16 to 17 says, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Elizabeth would have been honored to have been having the baby who was going to prepare the way for the Lord. That would have been an amazing thing. Imagine everyone in town saying, wow, you get to play that story. I wonder who the Lord will be. I wonder when the Lord will come. Your child is going to prepare the way for the Lord. I wonder what that's going to look like and when we'll see that baby. I can't believe your baby gets to play a role in that. And then her relative shows up and says, well, actually, here's the Lord. My baby's better. Elizabeth would have known the very existence of her baby was to point to the existence of Mary's. And yet, Elizabeth hears Mary walk in, the Spirit fills her, and in a loud voice she proclaims, blessed are you! What a woman. I almost called this sermon, Pregnant Prophets Produce Praise. We're still thinking about it. Loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Now Mary's showing up in the door, and I know that she said she believed. I know that she said to the angel, okay, if that's the case, then I'm going to follow through on this and I'm going to believe for it. But she's going to Elizabeth because she's still got a little bit of wondering in her heart. She still wants to go and just see. She wants to go and recognize the miracle. She wants to go process this a bit. She wants to go spend some time with someone else who's heard from an angel. And so she goes to that place, and Elizabeth doesn't say, so what do you think? Are you, you kind of in? Is this pretty exciting or what? She says, I'm here not just to confirm the work that God is doing. I'm here to celebrate what you're barely believing for. I'm here to push your little bit belief into so much belief. I'm here to stand behind you and push you on and encourage you on. I'm here to say that if my baby's entire existence is to talk about your babies, I am honored to do it, and I will do everything I can, Mary, so that you grow and thrive and learn and believe in Jesus through this time. Part of Mary's discovery of Christmas is meeting with this older woman who's saying, I believe in miracles and I see one in front of me. Mary, I'm proud of you. I love that moment. What happens to Mary? You know, when the angel spoke to Mary, you remember her language, what she said to the angel. Okay, if that's the way it is, if that's what's going to happen, your will be done. You don't say your will be done. There's not an easy way to say the exciting thing. No, and rarely do people say, your will be done, yay. It's usually like, okay, my will is not in the mix, but if I'll do your will, then that's okay. But here, she doesn't end the time with the angel praising God and celebrating. But here, after she meets with Elizabeth, this older woman who calls out the belief in her and calls out the faith in her and calls out the prophetic movement that God is doing in her and calls out the discovery of Christmas that she's doing, here Mary bursts into song. Her first words to Elizabeth are, hello, Elizabeth, you know, nice to see you. Elizabeth leaps, for her baby leaps. She's filled with the Spirit. She said, blessed are you. How did you even get here? How do I deserve to be with you? You are among me and you. You are so blessed. I can't believe it. I can't wait to see it. And you are so good that you believed. Yes. And Mary bursts into song and it says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I love this. I don't know what Elizabeth is doing in the moment. I just picture her like just praising, you know. Go, come on, amen. You know, throwing out some of those that we don't usually do here on Sundays. But but if all of a sudden Mary shows up and starts saying those things, we better be an amen in church. She says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And Mary comes to Elizabeth with some complexities, probably with some questions, looking for a little faith boost. And by the end of the time, the two of them are celebrating the work of God and celebrating what God is up to, celebrating the great things that God is going to do, full of the Spirit, excited, passionate about this reality. Mary still has all the exact same things in front of her. She's got to figure out how to walk this out with her fiance, who she's never been intimate with and yet is pregnant. She's got to figure out how to talk to her family about this. She's got to figure out how to deal with all of her friends and all the community and all the ridicule that's going to come. She's got to figure out how to deal with all the doubts. But in this moment, Elizabeth has elevated her to the place of saying, celebrate the work of God. He's lifted up the humble, and even a woman who meant really nothing in the book of history that anyone is going to look at in the future, that woman will now be spoken of thousands of years later because Jesus showed up in her life. God did something to her. And she chose Elizabeth. Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, shouted her to the place of belief and faith. To the point where Mary could sing. That's why we should have called it Pregnant Prophets Produce Praise. Because this woman produces praise in Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. I'm so thankful for this story in the Bible. Worship team, you could come and join me. I think there are a couple responses to a message like this. The first one is for those of you who have God has conceived something within you, conceived a dream within you, put something of passion within you, put a new desire in your heart, put something that takes faith to believe in. If he's put something like that in you, for some of you, you've gone to the wrong people, the wrong counsel. You've asked the wrong ones about whether or not that's true. gone to them, said, God's stretching my imagination. And they're like, well, who's God? Yeah, fair enough. Never mind. You go, oh, God's asking me to give up a few things in life. Well, why would you do that? Live for yourself. You only live once. Well, God's asking me to start to share a little bit with some friends about Jesus. Ah, that's going to be awkward. Why don't you just live it out instead? Don't worry about opening your mouth. And we shut some of the dreams that God's given us. We get in a moment like this and God starts speaking to us. We're like, oh, yes, I'm ready. I can do it. I feel something being conceived within me. And then we go out and we make sure that we get some wise counsel from our greatest doubters and we just allow them to put it to rest for us. The counsel often determines whether you're going to put something to rest or you're going to let it rise. Put a dream to rest or let it live. Let it wake up. Elizabeth wakes Mary up. Mary's heard from an angel, yes. She said she believes, yes. But Elizabeth, she says it just differently, doesn't she? She says, Mary, stop believing and start believing. Stop trusting in the Lord to lead you through these dark days and start believing you're bringing light to the whole world through Him. All of a sudden, Mary's singing songs. I don't know how often you meet with your friends and it leads to you singing. Some of you, it probably does happen. But I just love that. Hey, Elizabeth. Hey, bless her to you. Music on. Boom. Hey, I'm going to sing to you, Jesus. Like, what? Imagine you show up into someone's house in the next few weeks as you discover Christmas. Show up to someone who's got some faith. They confirm some things in you and you just start belting it out in song. You allow the Holy Spirit to stir something up in you. What does that start to do for you in discovering this Christmas? The other way to respond. So one is maybe you just need to sort of recognize you've been going to the wrong people. People that aren't going to confirm your faith, they're going to confirm your doubt. But the other thing I really feel is on my heart today is that in this room, some people need to receive that anointing of Elizabeth. Some people need to be in that place where if I walk into your house and say, excuse me, I'd like to talk to you about something that God is speaking to me about, you would jump out and burst out prophetic words right away. They just start coming at me with like the joy and the excitement. Elizabeth is a very unlikely candidate for this in this moment. There's every reason for her to want to say to Mary all the things that are going on in her life. Mary comes in. Hey, Elizabeth, nice to see you. Oh, Mary, it's so great to see you. Can I tell you all about my baby? Yeah, I heard yours is the Son of God. But listen, I've been walking through pregnancy and it's been really awesome. And I've got it's a 6-month now and I'm getting ready. And he's a pretty big deal. And lots of people really like hearing about the story of the angels around here. And John's been writing it out because he can't, Zechariah's been writing it out because he can't speak, and it's been really exciting to be part of that. Anyways, Mary, how can I help you with this little baby? Because I've got my important one. What about yours? But Elizabeth puts her whole life on hold. Everything she's been waiting for is right there in her body, ready to turn into a baby that she's been waiting for her whole life. And though that is still the reality, we don't hear her talk about her baby once. What? See, the pregnant prophet doesn't mention John, but just says, Mary, you need me right now to bump you up a few levels. You need me to remind you that God is doing a great work in you. You need me to remind you that you have believed and we're going to stand there and not stare at your doubts. You need me to call out everything in you and not just tell you all about me and tell you and deal with your doubts a bit. I'm here to remind you that He deserves praise. And Mary starts praising. So I believe there are people in this room who I need to pray for today that need to be Elizabeths. Because we're going to have some people searching for those Elizabeths. We're going to have some people in this room who are saying, God's stirring up something new in my heart and I need someone to talk to. And I want to be a church full of Elizabeths. Who that young person is trying to deal with where they should go in their life. Should I go in this route or this route? They would walk up to someone, an older person in this church, and just say, what do you think? And boom, I need to tell you about God and what he's doing in your life and what I believe for you. It's amazing. You're believing. It's happening. Come on. That we would have people that are turning people's doubts or questions into praise and celebration. We wouldn't just be confirmers. We'd be celebrators. We wouldn't just be creating confirmation all around the room. We'd be creating celebration all around the room. We wouldn't be like, I do believe that you may have a calling of God in your life. But instead, it'd be like, do you have any idea what this world gets because they have you filled with the Spirit? Walk, run, sprint. I've got your back. I'm covering for you. I'm behind you. I'm believing in you. Go, go, go. I've got you. Yeah, but don't you have your own stuff? Yeah. Yeah, but don't you have dreams of your own? Yeah. They are here to make way for yours. We need some Elizabeths who say, though I'm pregnant with what God is doing in my life, I recognize that everything God is doing in my life is meant to point to everything what God is doing in yours. Rising up the next. So, the number that's landed in my head is anyone 40 and up. I want to have a chance today. If you say I'm 40 and up, and I want to have that Elizabeth. Now, it's not just a woman thing. If you're a man here and you say I want the Elizabeth anointing, I think we need some of those guys. We need some of those guys who are going to say I need to be in that place where I'm not sitting here focusing on myself and focusing on all that I need to accomplish or all that God is doing in my life, but that you would be bursting to encourage and build up and strengthen the faith of those who are coming behind you. And so if you're 40 plus and you say, I want the anointing of Elizabeth in my life, that when I hear a young person with a little vision from Jesus walk in the room, I leap, the Holy Spirit fills me, and I start prophesying over them. This church and this city and the movement of God needs you. And so I'm going to ask you to stand so I can pray for you. So if you're 40 plus, you say, I need that anointing. I need the anointing of God. I need to walk in that Elizabeth anointing. I need to be filled with the Spirit, that I would hear him first, that I would be prophesying over the next, that I would be letting what is in me point to what is in them. I want to pray for you. Can we just give it up for these guys actually quick? Come on, here they are. You know, we often talk about how we need the next generation to be moving this church forward. But Mary, without the older generation, is still sitting in a little bit of question, a little bit of doubt, not really sure, and just saying, well, Lord, if that's what you need, then I'll do it. But it's Elizabeth, the next generation, who comes along and says, no, don't just sit in the place of confirmation and just needing confirmation. Stand in a place of celebration at what God is yet to do in your life. So, Elizabeth, if you just put your hand out to receive, just believe the Holy Spirit is going to give you a new ability to prophesy over the next generation. To prophesy over those who are struggling between faith and doubt. Holy Spirit, you move. Holy Spirit, you move. You start to rise up. Elizabeth anointing. Jesus, I pray that you would call these hearts, that you would stir these hearts. They're standing here saying, I recognize that there is a coming generation who needs me to call out their destiny, to call out the faith in them, to call out the dreams in them, to call out what's been conceived in them, to allow them to walk from confirmation to celebration, to allow them to move from anticipation to excitement about where things are going. Lord, would you give these people eyes to see what you're doing, not just what the world is doing, eyes to see see what you're trying to accomplish, eyes to see what you're stirring up, that they would recognize your work, your power, your might, your good things. Jesus, give them faith to believe more than those who are coming to them. Give them faith to believe greater than the young people who are being stirred up. Let them see it more clearly. God, I pray that they would put aside all of their questions and cynicism and doubts and concerns about the coming generation, but recognize, Lord, though there was a good work that was done in them, like Elizabeth, that good work was setting the stage for what's yet to come. God, I pray that you'd break off any feeling that the past is the only way forward. Jesus, give us hope to see the future. Give us hope to see that you're still doing a great work. I pray that Mary's would be stirred up, that those who have a little bit of faith, a little bit of belief, who've had big experiences with God and are meant to be a big piece of our future, Lord, I just pray that they would discover these Elizabeths, they would discover the fullness of what you're doing through the prophetic words that are spoken into their life. Holy Spirit, anoint them, empower them, strengthen them. Jesus' name we pray. Anyone who believes it says
amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give it up for them. Let's all stand together. Come on. God is doing a good work. He's doing it here. He's doing it now. He's doing it in the youngest, and he's doing it in the oldest. And I really believe for that. We're going to discover Christmas together. And we're going to do it because we allow our beliefs, a little bit of belief sometimes, to come against someone else who has a little bit of belief. And it's going to turn to the celebration into what we see God doing, into the future he's giving to us, into the prophetic excitement of what's happening. We're going to discover Christmas. Bless every one of you who says, I'm Elizabeth. May it be that fruit comes from your life in incredible ways, that people in your life show up and are changed. And when they show up with a little bit of faith, they leave with celebration in their heart for what God is about to do in them. Lord, thank you that you are good. You've got a good plan. You're mighty. You're stirring us to hope and to believe. Help us discover Christmas together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're new here, fill out a connect card. Let us get connected with you. We love you. Come on back next week. We're going to talk about how this moment, how celebration turned into reconciliation as we carry on the journey. We love you. Have a great, great week.